This is a WATD Political Forum on 95.9 WATD, online at 95.9WATD.com. Now, live from Studio B, here's your moderator, WATD's Christine James.
And good evening and welcome. It is a WATD Political Forum. It's the race for the 12th Plymouth District with Democrat incumbent Kathy Lenatra and Republican challenger Summer Schmeling. The towns of Kingston, Halifax, and Plimpton, as well as precincts 1, 11, and 13 in Plymouth, along with precinct 1 in Duxbury and precinct 1 in Middleborough, make up the 12th Plymouth District. Now, asking questions along with me tonight, we've got Monday Night Talk host Kevin Tachi. Good evening.
Hello.
And WATD's Charles Mathewson.
Hello.
We've got our own Amy Leonard with timing, and that's what we tell people beforehand. This is strictly timed. We're holding up colored construction paper, red, green, and yellow, and you know what that stands for. Now, if you're a regular listener to WATD, you know our format. It's simple. We ask the candidates to have opening statements prepared no longer than 2 minutes and closing statements no longer than 1 minute. In between, our reporters will ask a round of questions, and we'll also ask some lightning round questions, usually the best part of the evening. That's because the answers either have to be yes or no, and that's just yes or no without an explanation, or one or two sentences tops. The reporter will say what kind of an answer they want. Now, just moments ago, we chose the opening and closing order of the candidates out of the official WATD newsroom koozie stand-in. As we've been saying all season, the official one was stolen. Okay, misplaced at the end of the last election season. Please return it. No questions asked. Now, let's go to our opening statements here, and we're going to begin with Summer Schmeling. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, thank you WATD for hosting this forum, our sponsored Stuart Painting, and for the listeners for exercising your right to vote. My name is Summer Schmeling, and I am running for state representative to break the status quo of unaccountable and unresponsive government. As a mother and a scientist raising a family in Massachusetts, I am invested in the future of our community. Like you, I want our community, our family, and our home to be safe and affordable. I want to represent your needs and work towards our shared goals. People in my district feel like they have no representation on Beacon Hill. We are on the heels of a pandemic. We had the highest unemployment rate in the nation, and families and businesses are struggling to make ends meet. During this pandemic, my opponent voted to raise your gas tax by 20%. We are trying to reopen and go back to work, and you hit us with a gas tax? Now is not the appropriate time. I am endorsed by the National Federation of Independent Business. I am also supported by many restaurant owners. Why? Because they know that I will advocate for the small businesses in our communities to safely reopen. This district is already hurting for commercial tax revenue, and we cannot allow any more of our businesses to go under. Secondly, this district needs a strong voice to advocate on behalf of our seniors. Our legislature failed our most vulnerable citizens during this pandemic. Our elder care facilities and veterans' homes were absolutely devastated. The science was there that our seniors were at the highest risk, and proactive steps were not taken to protect them. We can't bring back the more than 6,000 parents and grandparents lost due to our state's lack of action. There is an entire committee that my opponent sits on whose sole purpose is to look out for the best interest of our seniors. They failed them. We need strong leadership and action from our legislators to protect our seniors and our veterans. I will be that leader. I will be a loud and outspoken voice for our seniors and our veterans, regardless of what committee I serve on. I have a track record of leadership and fighting for our children, and I will do the same for our elderly. On November 3rd, I am asking you for your vote to represent the best interest of the people of the 12th Plymouth District.
Thank you very much. That was Summer Schmeling and her opening comment. Now we're going to go to Kathy Lenatra, your opening comment.
Thank you, WATD, and our moderators for hosting tonight's forum. Hi, I'm Kathy Lenatra. I'm the state representative of the 12th Plymouth District. Let's be honest, this has been a difficult year, but we've come together and we've met this moment. I'm a former small business owner, a mother of four. My husband, Mike, is a Kingston police officer. We've lived the same struggles that our community has faced during this crisis. I've spent my life here in Plymouth County. I know that we are resilient, tough, and supportive of one another. That's gotten us through this crisis so far, and it's what will help us build back stronger than ever. As we've dealt with the COVID-19 together, I've heard from so many of you about what you're facing, from small business owners forced to close to our neighbors in need of unemployment assistance. This pandemic has affected everyone. These issues aren't Democrats and Republicans. They're problems that affect everyone in Massachusetts and require representatives from both parties to listen to each other, work together, and get the job done. That's exactly what I've done. Since March, I've fielded 300% more constituent calls than in 2019, and I've worked hard every day to bring answers and assistance to those in need. Over the past 2 years, I've secured hundreds of thousands of dollars in state funding for our schools, our seniors, and our small businesses. I've fought to protect our environment, support our teachers and first responders, and keep our communities safe. As we look to rebuild, I promise to do what I've done since you put your trust in me 2 years ago. Bring your concerns to Beacon Hill and deliver results for our community. That means securing our future with a commitment to public safety, climate action, economic development, and equal rights for all. It means helping our seniors, supporting our first responders, and standing up for our schools. These aren't partisan issues. They're critical problems we need to tackle to secure our community's future. Together, we'll rebuild and come back from this crisis stronger than ever.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement with Kathy Lenatra. And just a reminder, tonight we do have a sponsor for tonight's forum. That's Stewart Painting, encouraging you this fall to take pride in your vote and your home. Visit stewartpaint.com for special home repair and painting offers and to schedule a free estimate. Now let's go to the question portion of our evening, and let's start with Mike Kevintacci. Questions for the candidates.
Today was another step in the long process of trying to reopen from COVID-19. However, there have been some who have been critical of the governor and the administration of the handling of the pandemic and the length of time that businesses have been closed. Do you feel the state is taking the right approach in carefully reopening when it comes to businesses and activities that were closed due to COVID-19? We'll start with Summer.
Can you repeat the last part of the question? Do I feel like we've done it?
Do you feel that the state is taking the right approach and carefully, in the careful approach of reopening businesses and activities that were closed due to COVID? I mean, think of restaurants, gyms, things like that.
Yeah, I have very mixed feelings about this because as a supporter of small business, and I just really strongly believe that we should give our small business owners the opportunity to show that they are responsible enough to open businesses. We are allowing, our big box stores to be open, but not allowing our mom and pop shops to be open, and that is just a detriment to our community. Again, it's like funny, I spent this past weekend in New Hampshire at a basketball tournament with my daughter had one on one day and my son at the other day, and it's like, do we really believe that COVID-19 is not crossing state lines to get to the basketball courts in New Hampshire? Like, we're just, it's a struggle, right? Because we want to keep our people safe, but we're not allowing people to make personal, responsible decisions. And to me, that's government overreach. So it's tough. It's a tough line to walk. I don't envy the governor. I think he's done an excellent job keeping the rate down. We've sort of flattened the curve. We're moving forward. We're steering the ship in the right direction. But more could be done.
Same question.
Well, let's face it, none of us have been through a pandemic before. We didn't know what to expect. We didn't know what to do. The governor, I will say, was upfront with everything, with his press releases every single day, his conferences every single day, to keep us updated. You know, as a small business owner myself, I've struggled, but I've never struggled through a pandemic. So my heart goes out to our small businesses, our restaurants. I think we have a little uptick now. I just read that in the paper before here in the Boston Globe that we have a little uptick now. But, we were one of the highest states of coronaviruses, but now we're the lowest. So something was done right. We all did have to sacrifice, and we're still sacrificing.
Any follow-up? Okay. Charles Mathewson, question.
Can we not? Oh, I didn't know if we could follow a comment afterwards.
If you want to do a quick follow-up, you can. Then I'm going to give Kathy 30 seconds, too, because usually we just go to questions unless we do a follow-up question. Was there something else you wanted to add?
I just wanted to add the struggle of reopening the schools that I saw on the school committee. I don't know if we're going to talk about that separately.
We will get to that separately. All right. That's okay. Charles Mathewson?
Can either of you mention the name of the water group that works in the towns in your district?
Let's start with Kathy.
The water department. The Plymouth County Water.
Yeah.
Yes,
there
I've been to the meetings in Halifax. They're actually in Halifax at the town hall.
Yeah.
The Monpont Watershed.
No. Okay. The Tom Calter, the former representative of this district, restarted the oh-so-pithy Central Plymouth County Water District Commission. Every time I cover them, I have to say that into a mic, so... Yeah. In the last 2 months, Brockton Mayor Bob Sullivan has expressed a willingness to work with the commission. How would you take advantage of this detente?
I think that's great because, as we know, Brockton's been siphoning that water for many, many years. With the Mayor Sullivan actually wanting to step up to the table and discuss it, I think is great. I filed a bill this session, that would force Brockton to hook up to NWRA and stop taking all the water from our ponds. That was voted favorably out of committee. We'll see where it goes from there, but kudos to Mayor Sullivan for coming together with the committee and discussing it. Maybe we can have some real change this time. I mean, it's been going on for over 86 years.
Closer to 100.
Over 86 is...
Yeah, exactly. Summer, how would you take advantage of the breathing space between the towns and the city?
Well, it's really important. So I spoke to somebody who sits on the Mont Ponset Watershed Association, and we were talking about the health of the ponds and how just this year the pond's been open all year, which is fantastic, and a lot of work has been done. But as a state rep, you really need to keep that pressure on with Brockton and keep that relationship going. Otherwise, the minute that dam moves, the water levels are going to change. The water's not going to be flowing. We're going to be back to square one again. So, and we're going to have algae blooms. And in fact, now because the water is flowing more frequently or more naturally, we're having an issue with weed growth. So now that needs to be managed. So it's just an endless cycle of management that needs to happen. So having a good relationship and building that rapport and cooperation is definitely key, because we have not seen that in the past with our relationship with Brockton and the water. There have been people on both sides who have dug their heels in. And I know, being a resident of Halifax, that we forked over tens of thousands of dollars to manage that pond. And it's been a struggle. So we need to keep the pressure on for sure.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I've got a two-part question. I want to talk about police defunding or reform. The first part of the question is, how do you think this is being handled on Beacon Hill? And second part, your thoughts on, do you think there needs to be defunding and reform? Let's start with you, Summer. First part, what do you think about police defunding and or reform? Thoughts?
Any effort to handcuff our officers who put their lives on the line to keep our community safe will never get my support. I will always make sure our first responders have the resources they need to do their job. The way that bill was laid out on Beacon Hill is a disaster. It was rushed through. People didn't have enough time to speak on it. They didn't have enough time to even digest what was in it. I find it very unfortunate that we are living in a time where, and this has happened before, where the police are being besmirched for their job. They're just doing their job to keep our community safe. And I totally support law enforcement in their endeavors to keep my children. I'm a mother of three children, and when I'm knocking on doors in this district, I hear women, especially middle-aged women, would tell me that they are scared. They are scared at the way that the Democrats are pushing this defunding the police narrative. They're afraid of the riots. They're afraid of the looting. They're afraid for their children and afraid of for their lives. You have women that are in tears on the doorsteps because their husbands are police officers.
Kathy Lenatra, same question. What do you think about police defunding and reform, and what do you think about the way this has been handled on Beacon Hill?
Well, let's be clear. I'm not for defunding the police. We'll be clear on that. This is something I live every day, most of my adult life. I've been married to a police officer. He works in the town of Kingston, but those that know my husband, Mike, know that he was a detective in the gang unit in New York City. So he has seen it all. I agree with my opponent that this was rushed through. There were some aspects in this bill that I did agree with, but ultimately, you're right. Not everybody had a seat at that table. I spoke to the chiefs in the district. I spoke to the chiefs across the Commonwealth, and I actually had Black Lives Matter activists in my home for 3 hours just to discuss this bill. It was a large bill, but this was a great opportunity, in my eyes, a great opportunity for everyone to come together and make some meaningful change. The chiefs that I spoke to, you know, we need more training. Our police officers are wearing many hats that they're not trained for. They do need some more training, especially in the mental health. An example, Boston has hired some mental health counselors, and they go out on the calls, which is very beneficial to our police officers. Sorry.
Okay, let me ask you a 30-second question to follow up on. I asked you the same thing, Summer. What do you think about qualified immunity? You think it should be dropped? police officers?
I think qualified immunity, it relates to not just police officers, but all our first responders, our nurses, our doctors. It's such a broad brush there, and if they don't have it, we're not going to, there's a car accident. No one's going to run to save someone. You're going to be worried. Oh, this is only 30 seconds. Sorry. You know, you're going to be worried. You're going to think first, am I going to be sued if something goes wrong? So I do have real concerns about that. I would love to bring up the dog issue with that as well, but I don't have enough time.
We might get to that later.
Okay.
Summer, what do you think? Qualified immunity, 30 seconds. You think that should be changed? Yes or no?
No, they need that protection. Absolutely. And if they were to provide it on their own, it would be to an extraordinary expense. So they should, that's part of the reason why these men and women want to hang up their uniform. They don't feel like they're protected.
Okay.
My follow-up.
Okay.
My famous follow-up is there are essentially three parts to the proposed reform. Immunity, training, and certification or licensing. And we license all kinds of professions in the Commonwealth, including hairdressers, plumbers. I think probably journalists should be licensed. Which of these, the three parts of the bill, you've already talked about immunity, would you support training and certification? Summer.
I mean, I think from the officers I've talked to, they go through an extensive amount of training constantly. Their training doesn't end on their job. And certification, you know, I kind of have, this is a tough one. I feel like we in Massachusetts want to have a license and slap a fee on everything that we do. And I just don't necessarily agree with that. So, I mean, I think that our men and women in law enforcement are properly trained. And if there's proper channels in the department for them to have their behavior monitored and evaluated, then that's fine with me.
Mrs. Lenatra. What do you feel about training and certification?
I feel that everybody could use more training. Yes, they are trained. I know that as a fact. I know when they go to training. But to update training, especially in our mental health issue, I would say 80% of the calls in the district for our police officers, our men and women in blue, are mental health calls. And they're really not equipped to deal with that. To talk about the certification, my problem is with the board. The board is not comprised of their peers. Like you said, if a plumber and they need to be, they have to go in front of their board, they're in the board of their peers with other plumbers. Physicians, they're sitting in front of other physicians if they're being judged. Realtors, if I'm being judged, I'm in front of my peers, my other realtors. That was not the case in this bill, and I had a real issue with that.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Kevin Tachi, question for the candidates.
I apologize because I'm going to have to digress back to water. I probably should have jumped in when Charlie was mentioning it.
Oh, it's too late, Kevin.
Go,
can't do it.
Shoo, go away. start with you, Kathy. You had mentioned in regards to legislation to see if Brockton would in fact, is it a matter of trying to help them go to MWRA, even though that they have a desalination plant?
Yes.
And would this legislation involve any funding? Because it's a costly endeavor.
It is a costly endeavor, but when you think back, how much money has Brockton saved on their water? Quite a bit. They don't have the rates that Halifax has or that Kingston has or that Plymouth has or Duxbury has. They have been on the tails of our water in our district. So funding could come from Brockton.
Okay. Would you see any other legislation perhaps? I know one of the things, speaking to Pine Dubois, one of the things that really upset her is knowing that when there's like this year we had a drought.
Right.
And, you know,
we're still in a drought, Kevin.
Still in a drought. Yeah. Many communities observe a ban.
Mm-hmm.
But showing up at City Hall and seeing
the sidewalks being watered, that's
going.
Pines. Yeah.
What are your thoughts as far as any legislative action towards a ban, that there's a unilateral ban when it comes to any droughts or there's any issues with water, including Brockton?
Well, I'm interested in what Charlie had said, that the Mayor Sullivan, which I did not hear that previously, Charlie, that he's willing to come up to the table and make some changes. So that right there to me is promising. We'll see how that goes. Legislation would be happily filed by myself to anything to incur that they hook up and stop taking our water.
Okay. Sammy, you had mentioned in regards to issues with the blooms, especially in East and West Munponset Pond. But that's mostly because of what your understanding as to the situation. That isn't necessarily from the water being drawn down. Is there from issues with folks who are using too much nitrates or manure? That, my understanding is that it isn't necessarily the drawing down of the water or as far as circulation.
As far as I've been told, it's both, right? So it's runoff from the bogs as the bogs are draining and ends up in Monpont, but it's also the level of the dam. So when the water's not allowed to flow properly, it's not circulating, it's not turning over. That leak is very shallow. It's like 14 feet deep, sometimes 13 feet deep. And it gets, and then you have people bringing their boats in, jet skis, utilizing it. Sometimes they're bringing in microorganisms from other bodies of water that don't belong in that water. So it is a combination of everything. It's a combination of phosphates, nitrates flowing in, and the level at which they're damming. So right now, like I mentioned, according to the Monpont Watershed Association, you need 900,000 gallons of water to be flowing through there every day to keep it going and to keep the algae bloom down. The minute they bring up the dam and don't allow that water to flow, it becomes stagnant. So think about any body of stagnant water. That's what's creating these algae blooms. So flow does have an issue with it.
Do you feel that legislation would help, if any legislation that's an act might help with the management of the two ponds in Silver Lake?
I mean, if that's the only answer, if that's the only way we're going to get cooperation out of these people, I mean, I've lived in Halifax for over 10 years, and it's been an issue since day one when I moved into that town. It's like people are screaming about it constantly. And it's funny, because when I was talking to my friend, he's like, it's such a quiet issue now because the pond's been open all year. But next year, if it's not, you better believe people are going to have their hair on fire about it because they want to utilize it. I mean, I brought my kids down there to swim all summer long because it was so convenient, but... You know, if legislation is the way to go, fine. But really, we need to rectify this agreement that we had with them, because it's my understanding it was only under emergency circumstances that we were going to allow them to draw our water, and the emergency never got lifted, apparently. So here we are, and they're still drawing our water.
There was a drought in 1964.
Yep.
When the bill was amended.
Right.
You guys want to talk some more about water?
No, we'll step aside.
I brought my own.
Okay, Charles Matthewson, question.
We talked about police. How about immigration? Local police chiefs tell me that they want to enforce laws locally and don't want to be adversaries to the immigrant population. Now, in this district, that would be primarily North Plymouth and the Brazilians. Summer, you have said on your website that you would not support sanctuary cities or sanctuary state. How do you square that with what local police want to do to keep communication open with these communities?
Well, the police officers I talk to want access to federal databases that know whether or not these people are here illegally. I mean, it really comes down to safety in our communities. We can't just have sanctuary cities and states and allow people to just come here and live illegally. We can't. That's not safe for anybody. We just can't do it. So I fully support cooperation between local, state, and federal law enforcement, 100%.
Kathy, as the wife of a police officer, do you want to see more communication between police and immigrant communities, or barriers to that?
What I see, you know, like you said, it's only one little part of our district, the district that I represent. We need communication. We definitely need communication. If, let's give an example, an immigrant sees a crime, you know, someone's really hurt, sees a shooting, let's just say a shooting. We just had a shooting in Kingston. And they see that person. They're going to be afraid to go to that police officer and let them know who that person was, that they saw this because of immigration status. I agree that all our law enforcement do need to work together. And I do not feel that the police officers in our district need to do other people's jobs. They need to police our district. We have a lot going on. Again, I'm going to bring up mental health. There is so many calls on mental health, and they've only just exacerbated during COVID-19. Our suicide rates are up 30%. Our opioid overdoses are up about the same. So they have so many other things to deal with that they need to deal with. I just keep seeing the red. I'm sorry.
I just want to be clear to finish this. I read the Plymouth police log every day. And I never, ever see problems with the Brazilian community in that activity log.
You're listening to a WATD political forum. The race is for the 12th Plymouth District. We've got the incumbent in here, and that's Kathy Lenatra. She's a Democrat. She has a Republican challenger in here, too. That's Summer Schmeling. If you're not sure what the 12th Plymouth District is, I'll have to read it to you because it's a tricky one. Kingston, Halifax, and Plympton, as well as Precincts 1, 11, and 13 in Plymouth, Precinct 1 in Duxbury, and Precinct 1 in Middleborough. That makes up the 12th Plymouth District. And this forum is sponsored by Stuart Painting. Encouraging you this fall to take pride in your vote and your home. Visit stuartpaint.com for special home repair and painting offers and to schedule a free estimate. We'll be back right after this.
It seems like political season never ends, just like taking care of your home. Hi, I'm Sheldon Stewart of Stewart Painting in Hingham. Taking the first step in voting can be very similar to taking the first step in painting and repairing your home. Neither should wait. Take pride in your vote and your home. Visit our website at stuartpaint.com to learn more about our services, or stop by our Hingham office at 15 Levitt Street. Stuart Painting. Expect the best.
WATD's political forum continues now. Back to Studio B. Here's your moderator, Christine James.
Well, thank you. We are back in studio. We just took a quick 15-second break. And before we went to the break, Charles Mathewson, were you on the verge of asking a question or a follow-up, or is it just a comment?
It was just a comment about the Brazilian community not being a problem.
Okay. Anybody want to do any follow-up comments on this, about the issue with immigration? Okay, Summer.
I would like to know if Kathy supports sanctuary cities or Massachusetts becoming a sanctuary state.
I do not support Massachusetts becoming a sanctuary state or our district becoming a sanctuary city.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Now let's go to our next question. I want to ask both of you, what do you think about county government, because I can't, you know, stop talking about county government. Do you agree with how the county handles the CARES Act money? Let's start with you, Summer. Did you agree with the way that whole thing played out?
So I've heard both sides of this coin. So I've heard the it's not fair because every other county that got allocated funds from the CARES Act returned it. And so Plymouth County should have done the same. And then I heard the, we need to keep the money locally because we weren't necessarily guaranteed that that $90 million that was allocated to Plymouth County was going to end up back into Plymouth County. And so I was chairman of the school committee in Halifax when this, when the pandemic struck and we had to send our kids home. And the CARES Act really provided an enormous amount of funding to allow not only our schools to sort of reopen in a hybrid model, but to allow like our town hall and other businesses in town to reopen. So it really has been quite a welcome relief to our town and our entire district, frankly. I support county government because I'm a small government person. So I, as far as I know, it seems to be handled okay. As far as I know.
Same question, Kathy Lenatra. Do you support the way this was all handled?
I do. Very happily support it. There was a lot of pushback. You're right, a lot of counties gave their money back, and I'm so glad that we did not. I have been to six check presentations throughout the district, and they were on the ball, the town administrators, the selectmen, the finance committee, they were all on the ball, got everything that they needed right into the county, and we were able to go to those towns within 2 weeks. They never would have got that money if it wasn't given to the county, if the county was not in control. And everything that the county has, they have outsourced. So it's not, there's other people looking in. They have another legal counsel looking in. So it's really on the up and up. But I do say, think that the 12th Plymouth District benefited greatly by having the county manage that money. And they're still getting checks. I've been back to towns twice.
Okay.
So it's really worked out well.
I just want to do a quick follow-up here. It seems like we just kind of made it through the first 6 months of this pandemic. Who knows if we're going to get another surge, another lockdown, quarantine, whatever you want to call it. And who knows what's going to happen financially. Are you worried about the state economy? Do you think it's going to get much worse? Do you think we're starting to come out of it? I know it's hard to predict it, but let's start with you, Kathy.
It is hard to predict it, and I'm praying that we're not going to have a second wave. It's nice that today bars opened. Was that yesterday's Monday, right? Bars got to open, and I think that's a big thing. I was listening to the news this morning, and a bartender, you know, if they turn, that could be a $30 seat, and they can turn that seat five or six times a day. That's really going to help that restaurant. So that will be helpful. You know, I really think we need to dip into the rainy day fund. If this isn't a rainy day, I don't know what is. So I do feel that.
Summer, what do you think about this? Are you worried about where the economy is going to go with the pandemic? I mean, it's hard to predict, but if you had to. What would you say?
Yeah, I mean, I actually talk to restaurant owners who feel like we haven't even seen the ramifications of restaurants closing in the whole state because of this whole thing. Yes, there's going to be a major budget shortfall. I agree with my opponent that, you know, and I give props to Charlie Baker for knowing, having the foresight to put away some money into the rainy day fund because, you know, to her point, it's pouring. So we are going to need that relief for sure.
Okay. Let's go over to Kevin Tachi now. Questions for the candidates?
The pandemic has been our main focus since March, most of 2020. But what do you think things stand regarding the opioid epidemic? What needs to be done in regards to the fight against drug addiction? Summer?
Yeah, so this issue is definitely something that affects almost every family that I know, frankly, both from in my, you know, home where I grew up on the Cape. It was a huge issue, and it's a huge issue in the 12th Plymouth District. It's really sad to watch. You know, addiction doesn't discriminate, and there's a stigma attached to it, and it's really unfortunate because that needs to go away, because it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor or, you know, a mom or a daughter. It's still an issue in our district, and even in the last couple of weeks, I know of several people who have lost a loved one to an overdose, and I feel like it's gotten worse during this pandemic. People are home. They are struggling. They're depressed. They turn to drugs. It's my understanding there has been some relief. There was $1 million grant given to the Plymouth County Outreach from the federal government. There's this organization called HEAL in Plymouth that has a grant for substance abuse, which is great. But I just don't think we've done enough. I don't think our rehabilitation centers, especially the state-run ones, are operating in an effective manner in amount of time. So.
Same question, Kathy.
Yes. Thanks, Kevin. I've mentioned it before. The increase actually is 18%. We've increased 18% over the pandemic, and it's very sad. There's a lot of things that changed, you know, isolation and not being able to go to meetings. But there's some good things, too. There's PYDC, which I'm a part of. That's a Plymouth Youth Development Collaborative, which starts with prevention, and it starts with education with our young people. And that's really working well. And Plymouth County Outreach Hope, my husband's part of, and they really reach out to people in the community that need help. And they have meetings monthly. If there's a bed somewhere, they're able to put them into a bed. It is definitely an issue, and it was swept under the rug because coronavirus took the highlight, took the center stage, but it's something we really need to get back into really fighting. I do see even in our community we have some homeless youth that are addicts, and they need help, and we need help. We need to reach out and grab it, and treatment needs to be much longer. I've said this several times. It just can't be a 30-day treatment. It needs to be much longer than that.
Charles Mathewson?
Well, it's my turn. Summer's website says you oppose wasteful spending of taxpayer money. So I want to ask Kathy, do you engage in wasteful spending of taxpayers' money?
Do I engage in wasteful spending?
Yeah.
Of taxpayers' money?
Yeah.
I do not believe I engage in wasteful spending of taxpayers' money. I know that my opponent had mentioned the gas tax, that I voted for the gas tax. I'm not sure which gas tax she's talking about. It might be the transportation that we went in. I did vote pre-pandemic or voted for a 5 cents gas increase that would go towards transportation and roads. We are the 16th worst bridges in the country in Massachusetts. 16th worst. Do you want to be on a bridge when it goes down? Most of our bridges are in ill repair, and they're not being repaired, and there's no funds for that. That actually is not going anywhere. I just read that today in State House News. It went to the Senate, is not doing anything. So the Roadmap 2050, which has been accused of being a gas tax, is not a gas tax. That has to do with climate change, and I did vote in favor of that as well.
Okay, Summer, I worked for the state for 5 years. Oh, God help me. And I saw enough wasteful spending of taxpayer money. I also saw layoffs of social workers accompanied with deaths of children in foster care. So it's a complicated issue. I don't think anyone wants to spend taxpayers' money in a wasteful way, but it's complex.
Oh, absolutely.
Could you explain your position on not spending money wastefully?
Yeah, I mean, so to circle back around to the gas tax, so there was my opponent and the legislature voted for a 20% increase in the gas tax in March, right as the pandemic was coming down. This district especially overwhelmingly in 2014 repealed the gas tax, and the issue with the TCI and the climate change bill is the fact that it gives unelected bureaucrats the ability to index this gas tax to infinity and beyond. Like, there's no cap on it. And the money and the revenue is going into the general fund. It's not going into specifically transportation needs. So that's a major issue for me. And it's not adequately representing our district. Our district said, no, we don't want an ever-increasing indexed gas tax. And so that was my major point with the voting on the gas tax increase. But there's so much waste and fraud and abuse, and it spans all different departments in the budget. And somebody would have to sit down for a year and comb through this budget and figure out where it all is. I'm out of time.
Can I just respond to that? So a gas tax, according to the Mass state constitution, a gas tax can only be used for transportation. So I don't know, that was only transportation, roads and bridges.
Right. The one in March.
But a gas tax, according to the Mass Constitution, can only be used for transportation, roads, and bridges.
Right, but the TCI bill that was voted on
TCI
in July
was voted in 2007. The TCI
no, the
bill,
July, it was July 31st of this year.
That was the Roadmap 2050. TCI was 2007. Roadmap 2050 was voted on in July. TCI is, I won't vote on that. It was voted in 2007. It's under the governor. So the governor controls that.
Right, but it gives unelected bureaucrats the right to increase our gas tax and use it as revenue as they see fit.
Roadmap 2050 is not a gas tax.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure.
Let's switch over to schools. I know that we talked about this a little earlier. What do you think about the way that the schools have been kind of rolled out in all the different communities? What's your take on how reopening the schools or welcoming people back remotely, hybrid-wise? Summer, what's your take on this? What do you think? How do you think this was handled?
I have to tell you, this is the hardest vote I have ever taken in my 6-plus years on the school committee, was whether or not to... I did not sleep the night before we took that vote, and I didn't sleep the night we took the vote. My entire committee in Halifax voted preliminarily to send our children back to school full-time. We wanted... We were okay with masks, 3 feet of distance, but our kids needed to go back. And I think the biggest driving force behind that was we had to be cognizant of the parents that were single, the parents that are working, that can't be home with their children. My decision to send our children back to school was definitely partly based on their mental health. I mean, I saw how my sophomore was just emotionally drained, being home by herself all the time and not interacting. I feel for our younger grades, our primary grades, that are learning social interaction and learning how to read. We did go back at a hybrid model, but let me tell you, the only reason we did that was because of the budget. The budget wouldn't allow us to properly space our kids and hire all the teachers we needed or give us the space to send everybody back.
Kathy, what's your take on the way this whole going back to school plan was rolled out?
Oh, I've written letters to Commissioner Riley. I feel like there should have been one plan to put this on all our administrators and our school committees was a lot. They had to come up with 3 plans. It was either remote, hybrid, or all back. And they all did a great job, I have to say, throughout our district. Our district decided to go back hybrid. You know, I understand the health and safety concerns of the parents and the teachers. However, isolation is a big thing. You know, I have 4 children, 2 that are still in school, and I saw it as well. I have a child that's a competitive athlete, used to being at the gym 20 hours a day, and all of a sudden there's nothing. So mental health was a big thing. I know our teachers wanted nothing more than to be able to go, but they have concerns for their children, and there are some of them. We have multi-generational living now. Some will go home to an ill parent. So it was a tough, tough decision, but the hybrid, I think, was a good compromise for our district.
A quick follow-up. If there was one thing that you could have changed about rolling out the school plan, what would that be?
One plan. Okay. One plan. Okay. From the Commissioner Riley.
Summer, if you could change one thing about the way the plan was rolled out, what would you change?
one thing. I mean, this whole it was such a mess. We wanted our kids back in school so bad, and I don't think hybrid is the best model, frankly. I think that we should have our children back in school full time in person with a remote option for the people who live with somebody who's high risk, for, you know, people who don't feel comfortable sending their kid back to school. They have every right to choose the remote option, but I think the parents that want their kids there full time, they should be there full time.
Okay. Kevin Tachi, questions for the candidates?
I'm going to kind of follow up on what you asked, but I'm going to phrase it in contingency plans. And that is, we'll start with schools, but then I want to also get your thought on businesses. They say that we're going to see a second wave. It's not if, it's when. Do you feel that the state, do you feel that Secretary Riley should already be working on a contingency plan if, in fact, we have to roll back, all schools have to roll back to full remote?
Yeah, I believe Commissioner Riley should. And I do believe that the administration has that contingency plan in place. I did read again in the Globe today that there is an uptick in school in our colleges. You know, we have an uptick. It's not just our primary K through 12. It's our college education. Some kids went back to school, but they're still remote. So now they're paying for room and board, but they're remote. You know, that to me as a parent, that's a big chunk of change. So there's a lot of considerations. There's some schools that are now, George Washington University is one. They went back and forth, and now they're all remote. I do believe that the colleges will start going remote if they get more of an uptick.
So what about businesses? If we do see an uptick, what should the administration do? What should the legislature do in regards to a contingency plan for businesses, knowing that they suffered the most during the earlier months of the pandemic?
They
should
did.
There be something?
Our small businesses, restaurants did suffer the most during this pandemic.
So what should be done?
So we have the phases. Governor Baker had his phases, and where it's in his hand and Secretary Sutter's, I would assume, and don't want to speak for them, that they would start rolling back their phases. So we're phase three now. So they would go to phase two, level two, phase two, level one. That's what I assume would happen. Not really sure what should happen. I think most small businesses in our district, if not all, have really taken the precautions. I've been to several restaurants in our community. They have their plexiglass. We're all 6 feet apart. We wear our masks when we're not at the table. And I think proper etiquette is when you're giving your order, you should have your mask on, just to protect our service as well. You know, they're as vulnerable as anyone.
Same question setting with schools. Do you feel that Secretary Riley should already be working on a contingency plan if and when the second wave of COVID-19 happens to see an uptick here in Massachusetts?
So this is tough for me because I personally feel like our local administrators have the best, you know, they have their finger on the pulse of our district. They know what our kids need. So I don't think taking a blanket approach to the entire state is really beneficial to our children here. I understand how that makes sense on one level, but rolling it into businesses, I think there's a level of personal responsibility that has to come into play here. Like, if you don't feel like you are safe and you don't feel like you should leave your house, then don't. If you are high risk, then don't. If you don't want to send your kids to school, then don't. Let's have a remote option. But if you're not in that category, why are you going to handcuff me, whether I'm a business owner or a parent, and not allow me to live my life? I mean, like, let's bring it down to a level of personal responsibility here.
Would you feel you answered both the school and the business question? I initially asked about school, so it was kind of a blanket statement per se.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mentioned before that I think that we should have an in-person with a remote option, and I think that small businesses need to reopen responsibly, and people can choose whether or not they want to leave their house.
Summer, I'm going to step into an area of your expertise, so if I get it wrong, be gentle, okay? Based on the experience of the... And okay?
I'm sorry, it was just...
The moderator is making a face for those of you in radio land. Yeah. Based on the experience of the Southern Hemisphere this past season, their winter, our summer, do you think co-infection is going to stave off enough of COVID, or do we need to continue with the public health initiatives?
What do you mean? Is co-infection going to stave up? What do you mean by that?
Oh, good. Co-infection says that, for instance, if you have influenza, you're not going to get rhinovirus.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh.
University of Glasgow.
Okay.
Is saying that maybe...
So you're saying that if we let people get influenza, maybe they won't get COVID? Is that the line you're drawing here?
Well, what's happened in the Southern Hemisphere is they haven't gotten influenza.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Okay.
Interesting. Well, I don't know if this is where you're going, but in my mind is going to... So we model our influenza vaccine off of the strain that circulated in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
So now how can we do that accurately if we don't know what's circulating in the Southern Hemisphere?
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay. You get where I'm going here? All of the molecular biologists...
Bring the rest of us into the room.
Yes. What's the question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The question is, should we continue with vaccines for influenza that we're not really sure of, and public health, like masks and social distancing, or will COVID, the presence of COVID in the population, crowd out? I can see the scientists.
Oh, yeah, you can tell. My husband always gives me a hard time. He goes, you know, when you look off into space like that, people think you're being rude and ignoring them. I'm like, no, I'm processing, babe. I'm processing what is going on in my head. Because you have to think analytically about these things, right? That's a really deep question you're pulling out here, Charles. I don't know the answer to that. Again, personal responsibility. I feel like if you want to get your flu shot, get your flu shot. We sometimes guess at that. Sometimes it's 40% effective. Sometimes it's 90% effective. There's no right or wrong answer, but I don't think that we should be making blanket statements on anything, medicine, whatever. But let me back that up a little bit. Like, we do need to be precautious, right? We can't just go around like coughing without covering our mouths and, you know, living willy-nilly, because we need to be conscious of the people around us and respectful and responsible. And so, but you've seen in countries where they're not like shielding themselves and they're not wearing masks that COVID's going away. And so maybe we've stalled that process by putting ourselves in this bubble a little bit. So there's that to think about too.
Could you repeat that question, which I'm not exactly sure what it was, to Kathy?
No, I won't do that to Kathy. Instead, I'll ask, you supported a bill. You were co-sponsor of a bill that you then voted yes for, then you voted no for, then you finally voted yes for, which I think illustrates what actually goes on in Beacon Hill. Mm-hmm. What bill am I talking about?
I don't know. What bill are you talking about, Charlie?
Caps on kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was tough.
That was tough. That's tough. You know, what goes on? You get your bill, you read your bill.
Wait a second, let me explain. Because the moderator asked me to explain the molecular biology.
Well, we do have listeners that don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Caps on Kids was a Massachusetts statute that said if a woman became pregnant while applying for welfare, she would get roughly $90 a month less, and Massachusetts pays $593 a month. So it was a penalty for having a child.
You're right. Yep.
So you went through hell with that thing.
I did. And a lot of the legislators did. So when a bill is filed and when it comes out of, when it's voted on, it can be a totally different bill. So there's so many amendments that are made. There was a lot of amendments made to that bill. And then you'll be in session and people will argue that bill. They'll argue their amendments. If you want to vote for, you want to vote against. So it changed dramatically, but ultimately I did vote yes.
The governor put in what's called a poison pill when it was made veto-proof, and that was voted down. And then finally, it was acceptable to enough people.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. A large margin.
Now we're going to go to the lightning round part of our this evening, and we're going to ask questions that are either yes or no.
answers or one or two sentences stops. And remember, this is lightning because we're getting to the end of our forum here. So let's start with Kevin Tachi. Lightning round questions for our candidates.
Oh, I'm feeling the COVID-19 frenzy. One thing that you would stock up on if we see a resurgence of COVID-19.
Okay, Kathy Lenotter, what?
One item.
Lightning.
One item I would stock up if we see a resurgence. Books.
Okay. Summer.
Whiskey.
Charlie.
This is a complicated district. I don't know how anyone is meant to cover it. So where in this bizarre district do you like most to hang out? Summer.
Summer.
The woods. Every town in the woods.
Kathy?
Yeah, there's some great trails in our district. I will give you that. There are some great
Lightning.
Trails.
Yes or no?
Sorry, there are, though.
Have we lost the war on drugs? Yes or no? Summer.
Yeah.
Okay, Kathy.
I don't think we've started the war. I'm optimistic on there.
Yes or no?
Yes. No, we have not.
Okay. Kevin?
Plymouth County government, for or against it?
Kathy?
Didn't we already
for?
Do that?
Not really.
I am for Plymouth County government.
For. Small government, all the way.
Charles?
You know what I'm going to ask. What's your favorite bad habit? It has to be your habit, has to be a bad habit, and?
You have to enjoy it.
You have to enjoy it, and it's not like being Eddie Haskell.
Yeah, no Eddie Haskell. I work too hard, and I just, you know, it has to be real.
Oh, I went right to pizza. I went right to pizza.
All right.
Sorry. Bad Summer. Habit. I know, Kevin.
Well, I already said whiskey, but that's not a bad habit.
any other quick
no.
Yes?
No. All right. Yeah, I got a quick one.
Okay.
Four term limits, yes or no?
I'm sorry, that was so quick.
Term limits, yes or no?
Yes.
Term limits.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Summer. Okay, one more quick. What percentage of your income do you give to charity, Summer?
I have a pitiful income, so I volunteer a heck of a lot of my time.
Okay. Kathy?
25%.
Okay. Let's go to closing statements now. We're going to reverse the order. So we began with Summer last time at the opening, and then went to Kathy. So we're going to start our closing statements with Kathy and then go to Summer. Kathy Lenotra.
Well, thank you, WATD, for hosting this forum, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Working together and getting the job done, that's what I've done since day one on Beacon Hill. For me, this has never been about political party. Supporting our seniors, protecting our first responders, fighting this virus, helping small businesses recover, and standing up for our teachers and students. None of these things are partisan. These are things we agree on, and they're the things I've focused on for the past 2 years. I know this has been a tough year, between the virus that has upended our lives and a political conversation that is toxic. We're all struggling. I believe in the best of our community, that if we find common ground and work together on the issues that matter most, we'll emerge from this crisis stronger than ever. I pledge to do just that. I love doing this job. I humbly ask for your vote in this election. Remember, you can vote by mail, vote early starting October 17th, or vote on Election Day, November 3rd. To learn more about me, please visit my website, kathylenotra.com, or my Facebook page. Thank you, and be well.
Thank you very much. That was a closing statement from Kathy Lenotra. Let's go to closing statement now for Summer Schmeling.
My approach to life is based on the principles and values that I have acquired through my education and background in science. I am guided by knowledge, ethics, integrity, honesty, and objectivity. I will apply each of these values and principles to solve problems facing individuals and families in our district. Together, I believe that we can bring accountability and responsibility back to the Statehouse and return efficiency and affordability to our communities. Let's work together to bring real-world solutions using common sense and logic rather than the failed business-as-usual process and policies that plague Massachusetts. I will be your independent voice, not beholden to special interest groups and lobbyists. For more information, visit my website at www.summerforrep.com or on Facebook at Vote for Summer This Fall. On November 3rd, I need you to send a clear and concise message to Kathy Lenotra that ignoring the will of the people has consequences. For me, vote for me, Summer Schmeling, as your next state representative.
Thank you very much. That was a closing statement for Summer Schmeling. You've been listening to the Candidates Forum here tonight for the 12th Plymouth District. Summer Schmeling, the Republican, Kathy Lenotra, the Democrat. I'm Christine James, your moderator, asking questions with me tonight. Monday Night Talk host Kevin Tachi, Charles Mathewson, our reporter, Amy Leonard doing the timing here, Larry Nelson, our engineer, taking care of business here on the other side. This entire forum will be posted on the WATD website, 959WATD.com, and you'll also hear selected cuts tomorrow morning as well. November 3rd is the election. Remember, get out there and vote. If you don't vote, you don't have a voice. I'm Christine James, 95.9 WATD.